Power on.
Hi, friends, and welcome to the Pop Culture Retro-Rama podcast. I'm your host, Vic Sage, and I'm here to share memories, thoughts, and information on all manner of retro-related properties. Movies.
Are you telling me you built a time machine out of a DeLorean?
Music.
I want my MTV. All right.
Comic books.
These ain't your daddy's comic books, fanboy.
And toys.
It's Castle Grayskull.
And it's mine.
Broadcasting to you from the depths of the Retroist Vault. So, come join us, won't you?
Now, you're playing with power.
Friends, thank you very much for taking the time to join us on the Pop Culture Retrorama podcast once again. This episode, as you could tell by the title, is a special show. Much like we did with the first episode of the podcast, this is a look at summer memories. Since this won't be focusing on a single subject matter, say like Showbiz Pizza or Hasbro's Visionaries, I'm fortunate enough to be joined by some good friends who were kind enough to share one or two of their favorite summer memories. While I understand that these specials aren't always the most popular, I feel these are nonetheless the most fun. The reason being is the point of doing a podcast. Depending on what the show focuses on, of course, it's to share our personal experiences, as well as hopefully sharing some bit of knowledge in an entertaining manner. I suppose podcasts are much like old-time radio shows in a way, the digital equivalent of sitting around the campfire and sharing personal recollections, realizing we aren't all that different in the end. Also, especially in this case, with being affiliated with the Retroist, it's pretty great that while I may not have had to walk the same path as you, listener, we can both crack a smile when we are discussing the electronic allure of the arcades in their heyday, or seeing a summer movie that changed your life. The journey to a favorite location from long ago, or just vegging out during what at that time seemed a long break from school, etc. That is what is so great about these specials, at least to me. Today I am joined by the esteemed Ashley Thomas, Anthony Rotolo, IC Robots, and Earl Green. Before we get to our first guest, however, I want to share with you a fond summer memory that took place a little over 37 years ago, the evening I first saw Raiders of the Lost Ark. I was 9 years old when that little action picture from director Steven Spielberg, based on a story idea by both George Lucas and Philip Kaufman, and screenwriter Lawrence Kasdan, hit the big screen. I believe that I've touched upon this on an article on the Retroist site in the past, but I'm going to share it here too. It all started with a traveling fair that came into town. A small operation, but even as a kid I realized this fair might be a step up from the folks that pulled into town every fall and set up at the local fairgrounds. That was also a much, much larger operation than this particular group. For one thing, they didn't set up their carnival rides at the fairgrounds, but at the Evelyn Hill Shopping Center, the very same strip mall that the Showbiz Pizza would open up, and of course, where I work today, at the Arcadia Retrocade. However, even though this operation happened to be cleaner and by all accounts safer, this memory is tinged with pain and humiliation. I'm sure that most of you know what a tilt-a-whirl is, right? Well, 9-year-old Vic Sage had never been on one before, nor have I since. As you are no doubt aware, the tilt-a-whirl, thanks to its rotating cars where the rider sits, acts as a centrifuge, and the speeds with which it turns, the gravity keeps you not just in your seat, but pressed to the back of the car, which generally looks like clamshells and the like. What I'm about to tell you could have been avoided if my father had possessed the foresight to, you know, tell me how the ride is supposed to work. So, we are sitting in the open car together as it starts up. Everything is cool. But as the car starts to spin and we are pressed back, I did my very best to keep myself off the back of the car, a result that, over and over, slammed my head into the back of the car as the gravitational forces proved too strong. Now, my father was a good parent. He was busy keeping one hand firmly attached to the safety bar and pressing one hand against my chest. I guess he didn't realize that gravity was taking care of all that. Here's the thing, though, friends. I pretty quickly realized something was wrong, because a great deal of pain was starting to wash over me, and I began to cry, sobbing, finally screaming out for them to stop the ride. Obviously, at this point, I had my father's attention, and he was yelling over the music for me to keep my head back, which I was. Thanks to the pain, I couldn't muster up the strength to try and move. I also remember, through my sobbing, seeing the absolutely hysterical crowd laughing at my yelling as we rotated on the tilt-a-whirl, again and again. They thought this was just a little kid losing it on the ride. This is around the point my father began to shout angrily himself to stop the ride, to which the teenager who was controlling the tilt-a-whirl did. And let me tell you, friends, as soon as it stopped and I was able to lean forward, that teenager leapt into action. It was the blood, you see, that made him realize something was wrong, and the crowd stopped laughing real quick when he shouted for a medical kit to be brought up. Actually, there was a nurse in that crowd, and she checked me out, and I ended up with a very large bandage taped to the back of my head. It turns out there had been an exposed bolt in that car. And yes, that is exactly what my head was hitting. Now, I'm not talking like it was piercing my head or anything silly like that, but it did cut me up as I foolishly tried to keep raising myself up. It was a nightmare situation to say the least, but I also got a stupid amount of free stuff from the folks at the fair. Food and inflatable prizes. A couple of those and some cotton candy and soda does a lot to dry up the tears. The best part, obviously, was after, because I didn't exactly want to do anything else ride-related. So my father suggested we go see a movie, as this was early evening. We showed up at the Razorback Theater to find a movie about to begin called Raiders of the Lost Ark, a movie that I didn't really want to see. I love seeing horror movies and animated films, sci-fi pictures, although I did change my mind when he told me that Harrison Ford, Han Solo, was in the film. So, the movie began, and thinking about it now, I'm sure my father was watching me to make sure I hadn't actually really done some damage to myself on that tilt-a-whirl. The lights dim, and to be honest, I still wasn't sold on the movie. It was about the point when Indy comes face-to-face with the skewered remains of Forrestal that I started to change my mind. And by the time the boulder was rolling, Indy running for his life, that I realized I was totally on board. While Star Wars was still my favorite film at the time, I had no problems returning to see Raiders of the Lost Ark again and again and again. Better yet, was my father went into great detail of how the movie was a throwback to serials he had watched as a kid. This set me on the path to becoming a huge fan of them myself. Flash Gordon, The Phantom, Commando Cody, Blackhawk, and others. I guess it also instilled in me a lifelong love of pulp characters, too. Indiana Jones is still one of my favorite movie characters, and while I like some of his films more than others, it is one of my favorite summer memories, even with the scary way that memory started. Now, our first special guest is Ashley Thomas, aka The Nerdy Blogger, a friend who has not just been quick to help with the Pop Culture Retrorama podcast, but has in addition participated in the various Saturday Frights podcast Halloween specials over the years, to say nothing of being a fellow contributor to the Retroist site.
Greetings. I'm Ashley Thomas, The Nerdy Blogger. Happy summer to everyone. Vic invited me to join you all sharing one of my favorite summer memories. And while I don't have a memory of a particular thing during the summer, like a summer activity like swimming or going to an amusement park or whatever, there's one thing that I really associate with summer, and that's ramen noodles. It sounds silly, but when I was a kid and I was finally old enough to be able to stay by myself during the day while my parents were at work, one of the things that I ate for lunch almost every day, with a few exceptions, was ramen noodles. It was something I could fix for myself. It was pretty easy, and I love soup. It doesn't matter if it's a million degrees outside. I grew up in East Tennessee, where it is absurdly humid, you know, because of the mountains and all the trees and stuff. And while it's pretty, but it is ridiculously hot outside, and the air feels sweaty. It doesn't matter to me. I always want to eat soup. Soup makes me happy, and I love just I guess I like salt or whatever, and I love pasta and noodles. So ramen noodles, it covers all my bases. So as a kid during the summer, I would have a routine where it was almost whenever it would be about 11 o'clock, it was time to make ramen noodles because the new Scooby-Doo movies were on, and that was my thing. I would make my ramen noodles. I would watch the new Scooby-Doo movies, which is probably my favorite Scooby-Doo incarnation. I think I like that and Scooby-Doo, Where Are You? Equally. But I really loved doing that, and that was my thing. I'm very much a creature of habit. I still am. But that was my routine, was make my ramen noodles, watch the new Scooby-Doo movies. And for whatever reason, that felt like the most luxurious, deluxe thing I could possibly be doing with my time. I was kind of a goofy kid, and not much has changed. Yeah, so every now and again, I get a craving for ramen noodles. And when I do, I always want to watch the new Scooby-Doo movies. So maybe I should go pick up some ramen today. It's starting to get on summertime now. And maybe I should finally just bite the bullet and buy that series on DVD. I hope everyone has a great summer. And I hope you have many summer memories of your own to look back upon and enjoy. Cheers.
Mmm, that looks good, Corey. How many noodles do you think are in that bowl of Top Ramen noodle soup?
I want to tell you something. You count noodles today, and I'll eat.
Okay. Most people are like Corey. They love eating all those noodles and Top Ramen. What you'll love is that you can serve your family in 3 minutes, and for just pennies. Well, Corey, how'd it taste?
It's fine.
Top Ramen Oriental Noodle Soup. The mostly noodle soup from Nation Foods.
Thank you, Ashley, for that memory, and it's scary how great minds think alike. But more on that later on in the show. I actually never had the pleasure of eating ramen noodles until I was a young man, working at one of the local video stores. A fellow co-worker introduced me to this tasty and simple dinner. She brought in the microwavable version in the cup. There were many nights when I come back home from the arcade and just can't face making something complicated or eating another frozen pizza. That is when I reach for that cup of ramen. Personally, I prefer the plain beef variety. Now then, our next guest is also a frequent contributor to all manner of our special episodes, the one and only IC Robots, who, as most of you are probably already aware, is a podcaster of some renown. I believe his Toys R Us Report podcast is just about to hit the big 200th episode.
Hey kids, it is me, IC Robots, from the world-famous IC Robots radio, available at icrobots.com. I know, I just said IC Robots like 15 times in a span of like 30 seconds. But you know, branding. The importance of branding. At any rate, I was sitting here doing whatever when all of a sudden my dude Vic Sage, he reached out to me and he asked me if I had any summer stories. And I'm like, dude, of course I do. You know, I'm like everybody, man. I enjoy summer. I'm a summer dude. I live in California. It's great. We have nice weather. It's a lot of fun. And I look forward to summer as much as I do to anything. Let's see, coming up as a kid, both of my folks worked, so me and my bro, we were kind of left to our own devices over the hot summer months. It was us in the house, me being the older one. I'm 5 years older than my brother, me being the older one, being in charge, trying to keep things on lock, trying to do whatever it was that we could do to pass the time. One of the things I remember doing distinctly was wrestling. This was during the heyday of WWF Superstars on KTVU Channel 2. Every Saturday, we tune into that. And then every Sunday, we would tune into Wrestling Challenge on KFTY TV 50. And in between, we would spend the week wrestling on my folks' bed. I was the bigger dude, so it was mostly like me slamming, me jamming, me practicing suplexes on my brother. But he over the years developed kind of a superfly snooka, kind of a aerial style. And one day we decided we were going to go for the ultimate high spot. This was even before we knew what a high spot was. We decided we're going to go for the ultimate move. And I was going to lay in my back on my folks' bed, and he was going to go atop the dresser that was all the way across the room, and he was going to leap off that dresser, Superfly Snuka, with his hands in the air style, making the heavy metal sign, and he was going to land on me. I was going to sell it. 1, 2, 3. He was going to get the big win. So I laid myself down, prone, looking up, and I saw him atop the dresser, and this was like tall, man. This was like 4 feet, maybe, and he had to jump. I'm thinking like 4 or 5 feet to get on top of me, but he did it. He leapt, and as soon as he landed on top of me, the bed completely collapsed. Broken. We were terrified. This was like in the morning. We had planned this the day before, and we're like, as soon as they go to work, we're gonna do the Superfly, and do the Superfly we did. So we had to spend the whole day trying to figure out what we could do about the bed. The entire frame was like collapsed. We were not either of us like handy dudes. We were kids. We were dumb. But what we decided upon finally was like, I was going to go underneath and I was going to bench press it up. Like I was Dino Bravo going for the all-time bench press record on WWF Superstars. And my bro was going to get like a stack of books. We were going to take some of the Encyclopedia Britannicas from the living room, and we were going to put them under there and hope that they would hold the bed up. And hold the bed up they did. And we were surprised. The next day, they said nothing. The next day, they said nothing. The next day, they said nothing. But the whole time, we were in fear. We were in fear that any day now, the jig was going to be up. And also, we were a bit bummed out that our wrestling was done because we couldn't, jump on the bed anymore. We had destroyed it, and any more jumping would definitely be pushing our luck. And oddly enough, we never heard about this again. At what point they got a new bed? And I recall thinking, well, this is it. This is when they're finally going to get us. But no, they said nothing. It was very odd, but for a few days that summer, we were, in complete and total fear. Another summer memory I have that I think this might be the right place to share is one day I was sitting and I was flipping through our cable. This is when you had the box with the up and down button for the channels. And I was flipping when I stumbled upon something I'd never seen before. It was an all new channel known as Nickelodeon. I sat there and I watched. I'm like, this is amazing. This is a channel for kids. They're playing you can't do that on television. They're playing Pinwheel. They're playing Today's Special. I saw Danger Mouse. But the deal was, the thing wasn't full Nickelodeon. It was a 4-hour Nickelodeon loop, and all through the thing they would say, if you want Nickelodeon, call your cable company now and let them know. So I don't know, I gave in and I called our cable company. I believe it was Cable One here in Santa Rosa, California at the time, and I said, hi, I'd like to get Nickelodeon, please. And they asked me my address, they asked me my phone number, and then they said, go ahead, reset your cable box, unplug it, plug it back in. Nickelodeon was on my screen. It was the greatest. Instead of having to sit around and watch reruns of Leave It to Beaver on Channel 50, me and my bro could spend our days watching Double Dare, and it was all great. It was all awesome until the cable bill came in and I realized unwittingly that I had called the cable company and I had upgraded our cable package from the basic network, kind of deal, the lower tier to the upper middle tier. And my dad was incensed. He was yelling, he was screaming, he was running around because, I had thrown the budget all out of whack. Now as an adult, I realize how annoyed I would be. And he's yelling at me this is gonna come out of your allowance. And I was thinking to myself, okay, what allowance? I don't even get an allowance. At the time, it really felt worth it because for at least 1 month, we got the sweet relief of watching Nickelodeon instead of watching Hogan's Heroes reruns on the black and white TV that we shared in our bedroom. For the most part, summer to me was time spent in the house or in the yard or around the neighborhood with my brother. We didn't go on a lot of vacations. We didn't do a lot of things like that. We would go to Spring Lake on weekends and we would swim and have fun around Santa Rosa. But for me, summer was time that I spent with my brother. It was time that I really look back on incredibly fondly. It's never going to be like that again. He lives in another state. I live here. I miss him all the time. We talk, but we're never going to have those days when it was just the two of us in the house, locked in with nothing to do but watch I Dream of Jeannie on a black and white TV. And for a while, we had the sweet relief of Nickelodeon. So there you have it, kids. There's a couple summer memories for me, your dude, Icy Robots. If you are interested in hearing anything else from me, you can do so. Hop on over to icyrobots.com. That's IceRobots.com. I got a weekly show, got a bunch of stuff over there. It's a hoot and a half. Vic, I'm tossing it back to you.
Are you ready for Hulkamania? Ancient Adonis, looking good. Nobody beats Macho Man.
You can get right in the action in the ring with Wrestling Superstars figures. The big names are here and they're ready. It's corner-to-corner excitement. Match your moves against the other guy. Have your own WrestleMania with all your favorite figures. Because you're in the ring with the WWF Wrestling Superstars figures. Figures, ring, and cage sold separately. Assembly required. It's a grand tour.
I can beat anyone.
What you say, boy?
Thanks a million for those two very special memories, IC Robots. I, too, was a pretty big fan in my youth of the World Wrestling Federation, and there are some special memories of my cousin, Brandon, and myself doing our best to act out what we were fortunate enough to see on TV. Although, we never had the opportunity to wreck a bed while we were playing. At least you earned a pretty sweet story out of it. I can also say that I was a big fan of Nickelodeon, and I vividly remember when our local cable channel, which was Time Warner at the time, finally picked up Nickelodeon. In fact, at the arcade, thanks to being able to cast from YouTube, we are frequently playing old episodes of Pinwheel and Today's Special. It's a pretty great feeling to see a player stop what they're doing to look up at the TV, a big grin spreading on their face from remembering, perhaps a simpler time when they watched one of these shows. Our next special guest is the esteemed Earl Green, fellow podcaster and writer over at The Retro West, as well as author of books, a vlogger, video game historian, and a very dear friend to not just myself, but to the arcade. Earl was more than kind when he pretty much donated a large portion of his home console and computer collection to the Arcadia Retrocade.
The summer of 82 was the greatest. I've got a couple of stories here, one of which is just really seemed kind of materialistic and shallow, and yet it's one of those kid memories that makes you look back some almost 40 years later and say, hey, summer of 82 was the greatest. I remember my birthday that year. I forget what day it fell on, but it was in the middle of summer vacation, so it didn't really matter. My older brother, just out of the blue, was like, hey, let's go down to the arcade. And so we did. And whereas our visits to the arcade usually meant, you know, burning up a fiver in the change machine and then running out of money and having to leave, on this occasion, and I didn't really pick up on it until later, it seemed like the tokens were flowing endlessly from the change machine. It's like we were staying all day. And at this particular arcade, which was one of the closest ones to where we lived, it was very well stocked. I mean, this was a very good year for arcade games too, so I can say with some certainty that I almost certainly played Star Trek Strategic Operations Simulator. I know we played Kickman, Tron, Journey, you name it. All the greats were in this one place. Turbo, and I'm not sure if Pole Position was out yet or not, or if it was even present at that location. Needless to say, we got to play a lot of games, and after a while, I was like, hey, I'm getting hungry. Maybe we should go home. Well, then all of a sudden, he whisks me just half a parking lot away to Burger King, because this arcade was right next to a Burger King location. And so all of a sudden, you know, order whatever you want. So I ordered my usual two cheeseburgers because I was and still am not a skinny kid. Fries, probably a great big Dr. Pepper. And, you know, we just took all the time he wanted. I figured we were probably going home after that. Nope, back to the arcade. I hadn't really cottoned on to what was happening here until finally the arcade attendant paged my older brother that there was a call on the phone for him. Now, that was something that had never happened at the arcade before. And all of a sudden, then we did need to go home. I was a little bit worried about it because I didn't know if this was good news or bad news. Well, it turns out that they were, in the time that my brother and I were at the arcade, my mother and my grandmother had been wrapping just an unreal amount of birthday presents. And so I'm going to tell you right then and there, my 10th birthday that year, that was the best birthday ever. I mean, I could probably think about it and remember exactly which Star Wars toys I got, probably which game cartridges I got, but in the end, that doesn't matter. The funny thing was, really, my overriding memory of that day, in addition to the birthday party, was getting to spend a whole day at the arcade. So that's my sort of shallow materialistic memory, and sorry if that seems, you know, something that only a 10-year-old would be impressed by. However, I have another memory from, I thought it might be from summer of that same year, but it turns out it was probably late spring. This was probably the first weekend of April in 1982, and I'll tell you how I know that so precisely. Because Ms. Pac-Man had just arrived in that very same arcade, and on this weekend in April, we walked in there and the place was jam-packed because the arcade had literally taken out radio ads stating that they were the first arcade in town with Ms. Pac-Man. It was a very hard machine to get to, and they even had one of those dazzle displays on top, that second monitor that shows you what the player is seeing in such a way that you don't have to stand over the shoulder of that player, or in my case, since I was a little kid, about 9 years old, under the shoulder of that player, you know, either breathing down their neck or smelling their armpit, whichever height you happened to be. And it was pretty rough going getting to that machine. I mean, there was some jostling, there was some shoving. The arcade people had to step in, and my mother was less than impressed by one teenager in particular. And he, You know, she asked him, would he let me play a two-player game against him? And he was like, him? No. And so she said, oh, well, okay, I'll play against you. And, you know, without trying to make it sound gross or anything, my mother was shapely. She was in her prime. And so who knows what this teenage kid was thinking, but he was probably thinking, right on. So quarters go into the Ms. Pac-Man machine. He plays his turn. And, you know, she steps up to the machine like, wow, I haven't played this before. She proceeded to completely and utterly smoke this kid at Ms. Pac-Man. Having never played it before, she somehow was in the zone to the point that he never even finished his turns. He walked away because she was having a run on it and a crowd gathered watching my mom play Ms. Pac-Man. So those of you who have heard me talk about in the Select Game podcast where I talk about Odyssey 2 games, how much time my mother and I spent playing video games at home, apparently this benefited her as well as me. And so those are my, and like I said, that wasn't exactly summer of 82. That would have been, I remember that as being in late spring. So I went and, unusually enough, I looked up tornado outbreaks in 1982 and placed this incident on the first weekend of April of 82, where there was a tornado outbreak that did impact nearby where we lived in Fort Smith, Arkansas at the time. Because I remember the evening that followed was, you know, just one of those nights of terror and hiding in the basement with your family that just somehow isn't quite as much fun as hanging out at the arcade with them.
This token can unlock a fantasy you'll never forget. With this token, you can live a dream and be what you want to be in the game room at Connecticut Golfland. With the drop of this token, you can travel the universe, race the Grand Prix, or play for the New York Yankees. You can live out your fantasies in the game room at Connecticut Golfland. A cup of tokens can provide you with hours of fun and excitement. Live out your fantasies at Connecticut Golfland, Route 83, Vernon.
Thank you, Earl, for sharing both of those memories from the hallowed halls of your local arcade. Obviously, as I shared on the Showbiz Pizza episode of the Diary of an Arcade Employee podcast, the golden age of the arcades was truly something spectacular to behold. While thankfully I didn't run into too much trouble, I can recall a few teenagers that made my visit less than pleasant. Our next special guest is Anthony Rotolo, who hosts the truly exceptional TV Terror podcast. This is truly an exceptional show. He has had frequent guests on his own show like John Kenneth Muir, Jason Brock, Kevin Shinnick, and more. On the podcast, Anthony tackles those very special made-for-TV horror films, as well as shows like Kolchak, The Night Stalker.
Well, hi, friends. This is Anthony from the TV Terror podcast. I'm not sure if you know my name or not, or the name of that show, but I'm hoping that you've heard, more importantly, of things like Kolchak, The Night Stalker, or The Twilight Zone, or the ABC Movie of the Week, or of names like Dan Curtis, or Rod Serling, or a talented kid named Steven Spielberg. If even one of those things rings a bell, and that bell gives off a pleasant sound, then chances are you might like what we do there at my podcast. You can find us at tvterrorshow.com. We are a podcast and discussion community. Come join us. Well, the talented Mr. Sage kindly invited me to share some thoughts about summer. I was honored by his invitation. I'm a big fan of Vic's and all the things that he does, and also a little stumped as to a topic. It felt like one of those my summer vacation papers you might have written for a class at some point. But after agreeing to this little assignment, I started to cast about for ideas because I wasn't sure where to go with this. First, I wondered if I should target a TV production in keeping with my podcast and just find a summer theme. I thought of Wes Craven's Summer of Fear, but hot as it is these days, I was kind of cold to the idea. So I thought I'd make this assignment a little more personal. My thoughts actually kept circling back to summer vacations with the family and the strong sense of place that I associate with all of that. But that meant talking a little more about myself, which I tend to avoid. I don't find myself terribly exciting. But then I realized that the subject would not be so much about me as it would be about a location, a patch of planet that also occupies a stretch of heart space that matters to me, whose significance I could try to convey. When we speak of relationships, we tend to mean with others. For the most part, home is wherever our people are, right? But sometimes we develop a relationship with locations, maybe certain cities whose personalities, so to speak, we love. And as with any other relationship, we make memories with them. We mark events and milestones by them because they represent an intersection of space and time that matters to us. That's how it is for me, at least. One of my favorite places in the world, one of the most primal and safe and endearing spots for me, is a little lake, a lake in New Hampshire by the name of Keezer. That's spelled K-E-Z-A-R for those inclined to Google it. But if you search, look for the one in New Hampshire, not Maine. That one's an imposter. I'm talking about the one in New Hampshire. No, the Keezer Lake to which I refer can be found in the town of North Sutton, which is in the Sunapee region, not far from New London, New Hampshire, if you happen to know the area. But about that lake, this is a lovely lake possessing many moods, so to speak. Its waters can go from choppy to mild to pure glass. The picture of tranquility producing mirror images of trees and sky and mountains. It's not too big, it's not too small. It's about 3 miles in circumference, or a good hour's walk around its paved rim, a shaded road trafficked by only the occasional vehicle and featuring some breathtaking views. And the occasional moose that might cross your path, which happened from a safe distance to me one time. But significant to my younger self, my much younger self, this lake has an island, a protrusion that emerges from the water in the shape of a ship, long and tapered at its stern and its bow. For 9-year-old me, setting his sights on that island for the very first time, it struck me as remote and mysterious, a land that beckoned, a land to be discovered by a pint-sized Columbus in a rowboat. And then commandeered, captained like a ship with trees for sails and with wild blueberries to sustain its crew. Maybe it was a skeleton crew of pirate ghosts, or maybe there was a man Friday waiting to befriend me, whose footprints I'd find in its carpet of pine needles. My imagination produced wonderful possibilities. And then yet a little older, I putt-putted around the lake with the help of an old 5-horsepower Johnson outboard motor. I swam in its water. I picked up the occasional leech. I fished for bass, both largemouth and small, and for trout and perch and pickerel, mostly catch-and-release fishing, very occasionally to eat. I read books in a hammock, rocked to sleep by balmy breezes. During one of my vacations on the lake, I read the Stephen King book Different Seasons. I was a young and apt pupil of King at the time. And speaking of summer, one of those 4 stories had as its theme the summer of corruption. Mostly, I spent time with family and friends in quaint lakefront cottages, far from the perpetual motion machine of Long Island, with its endless ribbons of highway and trains and obligations, and where, in contrast, the only pressure I felt was maybe to win at Monopoly, or Rummy, or a game called Murder, or another game called Spoons, which became so boisterous one time that we shredded a tablecloth in a single evening of gameplay. But then at night, at the end of a long day, I searched the lake's dark canopy for shooting stars, a black expanse unspoiled by light pollution, an outdoor show set to the music of crickets. I haven't been back to the lake for decades, too many years, too many lost opportunities. My absence has become an unthinkable and regrettable lapse. But Lord willing, I'll be back this summer, and it will mark my 40th anniversary with this place, this lake, this old friend. Have you got a summer place? I hope that you do, and I hope you have a chance to reconnect with it as I plan to do with mine, to renew yourself in its waters, whether literal or figurative, to stand upon an island ship of your own and reset yourself and your heading through this life of wonderful possibility.
Linda Blair in Summer of Fear. A terrifying journey into witchcraft and the occult. The summer began like any other until the arrival of Julia.
Rachel, you remember Julia?
Hi, Julia.
Julia is a witch. She is some kind of a witch.
Was it jealousy, or was there more?
Bill, out of your head. You're not my cousin, Julia. Who are you?
Using a wax figure, can one person control another person's mind?
Alone, Rachel struggles to prove her nightmare a reality. A Summer of Fear. A frightening encounter with the supernatural. Summer of Fear.
Anthony, that was absolutely fantastic, my friend. And I will have to admit, the 1978 Summer of Fear is not a made-for-TV film that I've had the pleasure of seeing before. Apparently, it was released as Stranger in Our House, and looks to have been renamed Summer of Fear when it was re-released theatrically in the UK. It was based on Lois Duncan's book of the same name. I'll have to see if my co-host on the Saturday Frights podcast, The Projectionist, can manage to get a copy of the movie for us to tackle in a future episode. Friends, we originally had two more special guests planned to appear on this summer special, our good friends Rockford J, as well as Allison Venizio. Work sadly reared its head, as it often does, for Rockford, which is cool because you'll be hearing him on the next Saturday Frights podcast episode, as usual. And Allison, well, she had a bit more important stuff to do, because I'm happy to say that at the time of this show's publication, she just got married. So, I think that about wraps up our first summer special. I want to thank my guests, once again, for being so kind as to help to make this episode so great. Ashley Thomas is the Nerdy Blogger. She's been blogging about the nerdy life since 2010 on her own blog at nerdyblogging.wordpress.com. She is a contributor to RetroRust.com and Fangirlish.com. You can reach Ashley on Twitter at The Nerdy Blogger. Anthony Rotolo can be found on Facebook as Ken the TV Terror Facebook page. Or you can find his wonderful podcast at TVTerrorShow.com. I See Robots has a Facebook presence as well, and you can find his excellent shows over on Iceberg 13, that's thirteen.blogspot.com. Earl Green and his many geek and pop culture passion projects can all be found by visiting thelogbook.com. I will, of course, provide links to our guests on the podcast post over on The Retroist. For what it's worth, you can generally find me every single day writing on The Retroist site, as well as the Diary of an Arcade Employee and Saturday Frights Facebook page. If you have any comments on the podcast or maybe suggestions for future episodes, you can reach me at VicSage@RetroWest.com. The Pop Culture Retrorama podcast is available on iTunes, Stitcher, and even Spotify. If you like the show, why not help us attract new listeners by leaving us a review, a rating, and subscribing? The music you heard at the beginning and ending of our show is courtesy of Earl Green's TheLogbook.com, kindly used with his permission. Naturally, we need to thank the Retroist himself, not just for hosting this new podcast, but for creating a spot on the internet where we fans of all things retro can get a daily dose. When you need your retro fix, and we all do, hop on over to The Retroist. Now here's a hint of what I'll be talking about on the next show.
Scooby-Doo, looking for you. Scooby, Scooby-Doo, where are you? All the stars are here, waiting for you. Couldn't have a show without you.
This has been a Retroist production. Thank you for listening, and have a better one. Goodbye.